It's time now for Changing Australia, and good design and technology have been critical to improve accessibility and independence for many people living with disability. But what if the device or equipment you're using doesn't meet your specific needs, or it hasn't been invented yet? Well, among those finding solutions are engineers by trade, Ralph Drage and Michael Green. They're some of the many volunteers at a group known as Technology for Ageing and Disability South Australia, or TADSA, that for the past 50 years or so has been adapting gadgets, modifying tools and creating bespoke and custom equipment for people with disability. Ralph is TADSA's project coordinator, and Michael is one of the creators, also known as a technical volunteer. Ralph and Michael, a very warm welcome to Changing Australia.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Michael, you're a mechanical engineer by trade and have loved tinkering with things since you're a kid. What sort of projects did you work on during your career?
My employed career or my...
Yes, your employed career.
Look, I've been all over. So automotive stuff, white goods, defence, typical Adelaide sort of background.
Cars as well?
Automotive, yes.
Yes.
Both Holdens and a few of their suppliers, that sort of stuff.
And for you, Michael, how did this group catch your attention with your skill set?
I was reading through a journal at one stage and just saw a small article about TAD and thought, that sounds interesting. And phoned up eventually and talked to Ralph's predecessor, Roger, who brought me on board, and off I went.
And how does this organisation work, Ralph? How does it operate?
We're basically all volunteers, and we all work from home. We don't have a workshop at all, so everything's done at home. So my job is to coordinate the work coming to us, and then allocating it out to the volunteers who I think have got the skills to do that particular work. And then they get on and do it in their own workshops. And Michael was one of our youngest members and still is one of our youngest members. He's been around for 30-odd years, but he's still the youngest person in the group. So, yeah, it's a good group.
And Ralph, what are some of the really common requests that you get coming into the group of things that either need to be created or modified?
Well, it's interesting you say that because we really are bespoke. So everything's done for a client. We don't stock anything. We don't sell anything. We make to your requirements. So you could almost say that 90% of the work we get is one-off. We don't do it again. It's for that one person. Mm. The other 10% are things like cots we modify because a person in a wheelchair can't access a child in a cot because all cots go up and down. The sides go up and down these days. We make it so that that person in the wheelchair has access to the cot. Similarly with clotheslines, if you're in a wheelchair, you have difficulty...
Walking frames are another one.
Oh, yeah, well, I was going to get to that one.
Oh.
there are a number of things. I'll carry on with that one. So the walking frames, if you have a stroke and you can only use one hand, all walkers come with two-handed brakes. So we convert that over to one-hand walker and that type of thing.
And Michael, what's it like when you get a message from Ralph giving you a new project to work on?
Usually there's a phone call first to say, are you interested? And then some paperwork follows through. But, you know, my normal reaction is, oh, this could be interesting, depending on what it is. Some of the repetitive stuff, you think, oh, another one of those. I'll just go out and get my, you know, standard bits and pieces I use. But things like modifying walkers and... stuff for wheelchairs. Some of it is quite interesting.
Mm. What sort of reaction do you get from the clients, Ralph, when they come in with this? It can be enormously frustrating for people if they can't use this household item or the mobility aid that they've been given doesn't quite work for them. What sort of response do you get when you're able to get one of your volunteers to craft something for them that is bang on for them?
Well, of course, I'm in the office. I don't see that so much. I hear it, but I don't see it. Michael's the one that sees it. But I do know that's the reason why we do what we do, because the feedback we get is nothing but fantastic. And just to see a smile on a face that hasn't smiled for a long time, you know, it's so great to be able to do that.
What's it like, Michael, when you're dealing with these clients?
Look, probably one of the biggest things is the client has got an idea of what they want to do. They don't necessarily know how to do it.
Mm.
And so that's where we come in. We've seen some of these things. We've talked about it sometimes. But eventually when you deliver something to a client, they're very grateful because it's solved a problem for them. You know, they can go on to the next problem sort of thing.
Mm.
But when you're talking about problems with mobility or problems with access to things, I had a client who I used to do mouth sticks for, and you think, oh, a mouth stick, not very complicated, but it was one of those things where he used that for his computer, his phone. He had quadriplegia, and so, you know, that was his link to the outside world. So he was just so grateful when, you know, I came up with fixed a mouth stick for him, got a new one for him.
Ralph, is it getting harder now that tech is reinventing itself so quickly, and some of the aids that people are using are computer based? Is it harder to modify things when they are high tech?
Well, it is, but we don't get so much involved in that because the people we're dealing with can't use that sort of stuff generally. Take a phone. Some people can't use the phone, and yet you can turn lights on and have curtains go up and down with your phone, but these people can't do that. So that's where we come in. We've still got the devices to be able to go back to the old school and make those things for those people.
Is it getting difficult with devices to make sure that the warranty of those devices isn't left void? How do you deal with that?
We have to make the client well known that we are voiding the warranty in some cases, should there be a problem. Now, it's up to them whether they want to go ahead with it or not, because we can't change that. So most people go ahead with it and don't have a problem, but, you know, it's their choice.
Michael, sometimes these problems are really big, difficult things for people who are dealing with them day to day. Sometimes are the solutions ridiculously simple, or are you using other simple items to try and solve some of these problems?
One of the things about TAD is that we are cognizant of the fact that people are on a pension or disability allowance, something like that, most times. And so we try to do the cheapest thing we can do. We just look around and see what we can do, what we can adapt, what we can make, and just go from there, basically.
What's been your favourite project that you've worked on so far in all those years, Michael?
Oh, look, I've got millions of them. I've lost count of the number of projects I did. There was an interesting one I did for Helping Hand, an aged care facility here, where they had mixer taps and the dementia patients would come in and turn the tap on and then go off and leave it. And so I was asked to make up a lock to go over one of those. And I used some left-hand threads and some right-hand threads to make it so there was a particular combination to unscrew this thing. And it was so effective that when I took it into the office to show the office supervisor, Roger at the time, I think it was, it confounded him. He couldn't work it out. So, you know.
Well, it's wonderful, wonderful work that's really making such a difference for people. Ralph and Michael, thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.